Thank you so much, Nico. And thank you, Mom, for the good work that you do in developing those gifts. And the truth is that earlier I really didn't know what to say because I sure was taken off guard. And so thank you again for your graciousness towards us and your support and love. This morning I'll be sharing with some things to ponder, not a full-fledged message. Why? Because of the very special occasion that we have on this High Sabbath day. Let us pray. Father, thank you because you are our God and you care so much for your children. Sometimes we think that maybe you didn't notice or maybe you didn't care. No, you see and you act. And this morning, you want to further bless your children. May you speak to us, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate the Lord's Supper till he comes. And if this is a celebratory occasion, shouldn't it also be a joyous moment? I think so. Think about it. God has given you his only son to die your death, to take your place. He lived a righteous life for you and for me. He made a way so that you and I can have access to the Father, may have access to salvation, may have access to forgiveness and power over temptation and sin. Should this not give us reason to rejoice? I think so. We know Jesus has done all these things for us, but yet the devil works hard to bring us down. The devil presents to us all the bad things that we've done in the past. He puts in our faces the things that maybe we might even be involved in right now and would like to have us think there's no way out. Jesus is still the way. He is still our only hope. He's still the only one who can get you and I out of sin and keep me out of it too. Praise the Lord. And Jesus left us two symbols that are to be ingested. One is to be eaten, and the other we are to drink. But here's the truth of the matter. We don't eat if we're not hungry. And we don't drink unless we're thirsty. Only those who want Jesus more than anything will partake. Only those who realize they actually need a Savior will receive this meal. So my question to us today, church family, is, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? This isn't about trying to get something in the tummy because we missed breakfast this morning and we're trying to get something to get us until our fellowship lunch after our worship service. This is about being hungry for Jesus. This is about coming to Jesus, the only one who can fill you, the only one who can forgive you, the only one who can cleanse you, the only one who can get you and I into heaven. Are you hungry? Saul of Tarsus thought he wasn't hungry. He thought he didn't need Jesus. He had heard about Jesus and couldn't stand people who either believed in him and followed him until the day that he met Jesus. He was on his way to get some Christians either thrown into prison or sentenced to death, And then Jesus showed up. Where were you when Jesus showed up? Maybe your marriage was falling apart, or maybe it even did fall apart. Or maybe Jesus showed up when you lost your job. Or maybe Jesus showed up when you fell sick with some malady. Or you may have even just ended up in jail because of the fruit of our bad decisions. And Jesus showed up. Where were you when he showed up? And if you don't know how to answer that question, then maybe we're still needing Jesus to show up in our lives. Jesus has a way of showing up when you least expect him to. I was talking with somebody earlier this morning about how Jesus showed up as they were on the freeway and protected them from not getting into a car accident. Jesus showed up. But Jesus not only shows up, but Jesus goes out looking for you and for me. Why is he looking for you? Why is he looking for me? I'll tell you why. Because we're hungry. And he knows that he is the only one who will satisfy. But not just that. Guess what? He's hungry too. Jesus told his disciples in the Last Supper, "I will not partake of the fruit of the vine until you are together with me in heaven." So Jesus, too, is also hungry. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be with me." Jesus is looking for you and for me because the reality is that Jesus is coming back. And oh, how he wants you and I to join him in heaven at that supper at his table. 2,000 years ago, there was another supper, just like the one we will be partaking of in a few moments. Maybe slightly different, but not much. There was unleavened bread at that supper. There was also, and that bread was a symbol of Jesus' body that in a few moments was literally about to be broken. And there also was unfermented juice symbolizing the blood that would literally be shed. Shed for the whole world. The whole world. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As the disciples were with Jesus, his final time with them, Jesus prophesied that there would be one of them that would betray him. It would be someone who would not only leave Jesus, but would make decisions that would lead directly to Jesus' death. And the disciples all asked Jesus the famous question, "Is it I? Is it I, Lord?" And you know, all of us, in one shape or form, we believe in God. Amen? Amen? Okay. Whether it's a little bit or whether it's a lot of bit, we all believe in God. Amen? Soon we'll be partaking of communion. And the truth is, we've all made mistakes, even though we believe in God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So what's this examining that I need to do for me? As in the examining that you're to do for you and the examining I need to do for me. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Bible says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is where? In you, except ye be reprobates or disqualified. There was a disciple who asked Jesus that night, is it I? And Jesus' response was, you have said it. Judas was about to make some decisions that he could never fix. How do you fix betraying Jesus to be crucified? You can't fix that one. And then goes on to take his life. You can't fix that one either. You might be here today feeling as if maybe there's an element in our own lives in which we may have betrayed Jesus. Maybe not exactly like Judas per se, but we've turned a little bit. Can this be fixed? Oh, yes, it can. All you have to do, as the old hymn says, is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I want to turn towards Jesus. How about you? And unlike Judas, you haven't taken your own life. Praise God. That maybe we've made decisions that we're not proud of, maybe some decisions we're even embarrassed of, but if we can still do this, there's still hope. Hallelujah. The Bible says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Is it time for our faith to take some steps forward? If that is a yes, you can do this. Since that is the case, when do you think would be a good time that our faith takes a step forward? I think so too. We may not celebrate communion every Sabbath day, and that's okay. But how long does the Bible say that we should celebrate the Lord's Supper? 1 Corinthians 11:26 tells us. The Bible says, till he comes. This past week, we were able to celebrate our baby's first birthday. Can you believe that she's been with us a year already? It's crazy. What a journey it's been, and the journey is just starting. Yesterday, I finally washed the van. Praise the Lord. And I do know that that increases the probability that it's going to rain, but hey, we live in Oregon, so. As I was washing the van, I noticed something out of my periphery. I noticed that the upstairs curtain was moving. And I knew that this could only mean one thing. The baby must be close by. And sure enough, boop, she pops up And she looks at me. And she starts banging on the window, all excited. Why? Because she's looking at me and I'm looking at her and she's doing the pointing thing and I'm doing the pointing thing back. And then it dawns on me, thinking to myself, isn't this what it's all about? Making sure that she's in the house? I continue washing the van. And the baby is continued to be glued to the window. Nobody was going to be taking the baby from the window, including Mama. How long was she at the window? Until Daddy came home. Why do we come to church? Why do we pray? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we have communion? Because our Father wants us to be with Him now, and He wants to have that relationship so that you and I can be in His house. I finished washing the van, and I pulled it back into the garage. And I went to see the wonderful job that I had done in washing the van. And I realized that there was a lot left to be desired. For there were streaks over here and streaks over there. And I felt so bad about it, I got the drying cloth to try to get some of those streaks out. And I realized it wasn't getting any better. So I ran quickly to go get the sponge with soap and started spot cleaning. I even got the hose and hosed it down in the garage with water all over the floor. Today, we come to get clean. And there will be some sins that we confess to God, and they'll be forgiven, but we might leave this place and realize that there's still some streaks. What does the Bible tell us about how long I need to come to the Savior? Till He comes. There's some obvious sins in my life, and that needs to go. But the Lord has only just begun my sanctification process. He has more that He wants to do. Saul of Tarsus died on the road to Damascus. He died. Why? Because he met Jesus. He decided to give his life to the one who gave his life for him. Saul of Tarsus didn't write the book of Corinthians. Paul did. Saul of Tarsus now was simply the past of this man named now Paul, who was now going everywhere preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and being persecuted and even killed for it too. When Saul of Tarsus met Jesus, he not only became Paul, he became an evangelist. And isn't that what happens with us? When we meet Jesus, we too become evangelists. Tell the person next to you, you're an evangelist. You're an evangelist. Saul of Tarsus couldn't lead anybody to Jesus. But Paul could. Why? Because Paul chose to believe in Jesus. Paul chose to believe and abide in Jesus and hold on to Jesus and stay with Jesus and walk with Jesus. And the fruit of being with Jesus was telling everybody about Jesus. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. The whole neighborhood could see the baby looking at me and me looking at the baby. That's true. true witnessing. When other people can see who I'm looking at, and they too want to see what I'm looking at. Are you looking to Jesus? Why don't we just vote a new church budget so we can keep the lights on? We have a church budget because this room is filled with evangelists. That's why. How long am I to hold on to Jesus? Till he comes. How long am I to tell others about Jesus? Till he comes. How long do I need the grace of God manifested in my life? Till he comes. May we be found ready when he comes. With those words, I'd like to share that we practice open communion as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. That means whether or not you're a Seventh-day Adventist Christian or not, but you are a believer in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are invited and welcome to partake. We will in a few moments separate in what's known as the foot washing service, the ordinance of humility. We have a room, the junior Sabbath school room, the gentlemen will meet there, and the youth room, the ladies will meet there, and we have the Better Living Center set up for couples to wash one another's feet. It may be that you came prepared for communion service today, or maybe you did not. But the Sabbath is God's day, amen? That makes it holy time. So if you were to choose not to partake, I'd like to invite you to still take advantage of this holy time. To stay here and be part of what's going on and talk to the Lord so that your heart and my heart might be ready the next time we have communion. Once we finish serving one another, we'll then come back into the sanctuary. I'd like to encourage us to come in with an attitude of reverence as the Holy Spirit is wanting to impress our hearts. As soon the pastor, the elders, and deacons will then be leading out in the communion service. With those words, let us serve one another and then come back. The children's story will be given by Susan, I believe. May God bless you.